Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Hey, Kathy. Oh,
good. Jay, good morning. How are you?
Doing all right.
Good, good, good.
Just the two of us right now, so. Oh. Hi, Dinah.
How's it going?
Good, and you?
Good.
Hello.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Everything's fine.
Excellent. You got your stuff all right, Ralph?
Thank you, by the way. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Okay. I went and pulled everything, Ralph. I figured it would be best to do that.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paula.
Good morning.
Okay.
We'll give it a few minutes here.
Ralph and Dinah and the three commissioners are on the call.
Well, let's start.
Let's start.
That's my...
Okay.
All right. Seeing as it is officially 9 a.m., I will call the meeting to order at 9 a.m. And I will make a motion to approve the agenda for Thursday, July 23rd, 2020. Do I have a second?
23rd. Yeah. Kathy will second July. Now you got me from there. July 23rd.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Yes.
Okay, great. We're going to jump. So, Kelly, and for folks on the phone, Chris Albert will be joining us hopefully at 9:30 this morning. He's got a webinar that he's on right now for arsenic. So I'm going to jump right to Kelly Robitel, our DPW foreman. Kelly, what you got?
Let's see. We did a lot of work up on Ways, Wise, Road. That complete. That is part of my project for the whole West Bergamo area, the whole road, pitching and material. And we're going to do every part of that we can all at once. That come out pretty good. I'm happy with it. That saves a lot of our plowing headaches.
Just so people who might not know, this was brought up several months ago, actually before the winter, that the culvert was exposed, and in the middle of the culvert there was a split or a tear. And so Kelly replaced that culvert, which was a 24 with a 20, right, because of the depth of the water main?
The depth of the ledge.
The ledge, okay.
We couldn't go any deeper. We ended up having to put a concrete header that we built because of how shallow it was.
Oh, nice.
And we did a lot of work on the ditching up the road, and we put material on it. It's always been a major headache for plowing, getting in, getting out of there. This should help us. We did a lot of work at the top of that road, too. So now we'll continue on to West Bergamo. Not this week. That was my second thing. The big truck went in for service yesterday. It had a brake issue. Heating. It was overheating. So I got a call from all the service late yesterday. They have a problem with one of the heating elements. It has to be replaced. Apparently, before my time, before 6 years ago, someone loaded it with stop leak. They must have had a minor leak, and they dumped the bottle. That's the worst thing you can do for any radiator. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's $1,500 for the part, and that's where we're starting. From there, it's going to grow into labor and anything else they find. So just making you aware, it has to be fixed. We have no choice.
They can't, what's the word? Put the radiator and boil it out? Not boil it out. What's the word?
He said it's flush shot. It out. He said it's too far gone.
Okay.
The soft leak filled up half of it.
Yeah.
Just clogged the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with that. I'll keep you informed one of those things that has to get fixed.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So moving on. I did get a, I wanted to talk to Chris on the phone, but I also don't have all day. So I got estimates for paving. Estimates for paving the Rhinac area, like we had talked about. The estimate came in, I thought, very good. Chris also agreed. The estimate for a overlay is $37,240. That is to resurface the entire length from up Aspen onto Bristenstock and the entire length of Bristenstock, covering all of the cuts and everything that was put there from the project. Chris looked at, he saw the proposal, he thought it looked good. You can talk to him when he calls in. But there's a 6 to 8 week lead time once we approve doing it. The paving company I've worked with, they're very good. We have a good relationship with them. They're not asking for any deposit, just a letter of confirmation that we're going to go ahead with the paving. Chris said the 8 weeks would probably be better just to make sure they have a chance to flush the lines and make sure everything's working properly. And it would be a good deal. Well, we can, we don't have to agree on that today.
Okay.
We do have time on that.
Yeah, but no, that's great. And I like the number. From other numbers that I've seen before, my question is, since we're not going to make a decision today, but I think we have some work to do today on this number, and that is for someone, Kathy or Paula, to better explain this bond, because this money, this $37,000, will be part of the contingency money, right? So the contingency money is money that's made up out of the allocation of the bond, the taking from the capital reserve funds, and the grants, I believe, will not go towards this, the reimbursement money.
Well,
okay.
It should be part of the water project.
Yeah, it is part of the project, but, yeah, I don't know if we're going to get reimbursed.
Okay. Hey,
so that being said, Kathy or Paula, could you talk about the bond discussion that you folks had Tuesday with Greg M. with regards to $869,400 versus $700,000 some odd change, and what that means.
Well, he did explain it, but I guess the bottom line is we will be getting $869,400. It's the way they break up the money to do the financing. But he went through a bunch of due diligence questions, you know, that nobody is challenging the vote at the annual meeting to appropriate the funds. That was probably his primary concern, that there'll be no litigation regarding the validity of us taking out that loan. So that was one of his major concerns, that we answered all those questions. He wanted to make sure that the project was large enough to spend all the $869,400. He wanted to make sure that the $869,400 would be spent within 3 years, which we said that would certainly not be a problem. I think that, Donna, did we get that FedEx package that he sent?
Yes.
Okay. I
emailed you guys that it came.
Okay. I didn't see it, but that, you may have done that. And at the end of the whole conversation, he said that the three takeaways with government financing, which this loan is that, A, we keep very good track of the $869,400, and that nothing can be spent out of that segment of money that isn't for the Rhinarc project. So the $869,000 has to be very well accounted for in case we ever get audited. So that's number one. Number two was we have to make sure that that money is spent within the 3 years, which is a state requirement. And also one that the third thing, which really wouldn't apply to us, is that we could not put advertising of any sort on the tank and receive any financial benefit, so that there'd be no income derived from this project coming back to the district. And the only thing he could think of was maybe somebody would want to put a sign on our tank to advertise their business and they would pay us for it. So he said that those were the three major takeaways for this. So we have to be very careful and make sure that keeping the 869-4 separate, even from the grant reimbursement, and have a very detailed accounting of how that money is spent to make sure that it goes directly to the Reinhart project for the water tank. Now, the same is true for the 295, that has to be applied to the water project. There is the capital reserve funds that we have for the water project. Now, if redoing the road after the water project's completed qualifies as part of the project, I believe that we could legitimately and legally use water system capital reserve funds, which was that $84,000 that we ponied up for this project, toward the road. We wouldn't get reimbursed for it, so we would lose some of our grant money, but that would be the only way to legally use money in this project for repaving that road.
Okay,
and I think and kind of to expand on that a tiny bit, way back when this project was being discussed, the roads were brought up as, what do we do about the roads? And I believe Chris said, this has to be a water project. So it wasn't that they forgot about the roads or that it was an omission. It was that the way the grant was structured, we couldn't include any road work as part of the project because it was outside the scope of a water project.
That I don't know, because I think we were all surprised when we found out that the road was not going to be put back together, at least in the same condition that it was found before the construction occurred. It's going to be patched, and that will only last 1 year, forcing us to redo the road in a year anyhow. But that first year is going to be very rough on the plows and on the traffic trying to get up and over that hill. So my question is, who do we call to determine whether doing the road and the possibility of taking money from either the grant or the $85,000 capital reserve falls under this project? And I would think that, for example, we've done water projects on Oak Ridge, replacing water line, and the road was always part of the project. Blinden, same thing. So I guess my question is it the state DES that we would contact to find out if putting the road back together, at least in a safe condition, that will last more than 1 year? Are they the ones that would qualify this as part of the project?
Well, don't forget, we've got $80,000 in capital reserve money that is going to be used to piggyback on top of the 869-4 and the grant. So we do have that money, and it does make sense if you have to dig up the road to do work on a water project that you have to repair the road. I don't know if they would consider repaving all the roads as part of the water project, but because the capital reserve money is our money, we have the option of doing it through those funds. We wouldn't get reimbursed. We might lose some of the $295,000, but that would be our choice. We'd have to make a decision as to whether we should do that. We have no money in our capital reserve funds for roads. That $30,000 got, or 20, whatever the amount was at the annual meeting, got voted down. So the only place to take it from is going to be from the water system CRF.
Right, and so I think if anybody's been up Bristenstock or Aspen recently, you'll see the amount of cuts laterally and vertically that were done on the road. And I know there's 13 culverts that could possibly all be replaced. Apparently, they won't all be replaced. And then there's, I believe, 19. I sent that number.
18
homes that are going to have lateral cuts, or if they haven't already been done. 18 lateral cuts across the road. In other words, you can, of course, repair each one of those cuts, but there's more cuts in the road now than there is road left.
I don't think any of us are disagreeing that it needs to be done. But he was, I mean, Gregan was very clear that 869-4 has to be part of that project. And then when the project was bid, paving was not included. So I think that it would be a difficult, I don't think that he would or Chris would say it was part of the project. The $295
right.
from the grant has to be spent on the water project, but we do have the option of using the capital reserve money. So you can run it by Chris, but I think that would make the most sense.
Going back on even just the capital reserve money, so those are two water funds, capital reserve
yep.
funds that we're actually taking from to do paving. And I believe we can use it, because if we were installing a new water line on road mm-hmm. number X, then digging up the old water line, putting in a 4-inch, and then resurfacing the road could all be part of the project.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we wish that this Rhinoc project included the roads. We would have had a better idea of what the total true cost would have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. We probably do have enough money in the capital reserve funds to put the road back.
I can tell you right, at the beginning of this year, not counting interest, the water system capital reserve fund, $45,750. Water tank, I don't think we could take it out of the water tank fund. But then we've got water pipe improvement for $40,444. So
right.
there's $85,000 in those two accounts that would legitimately take care of paving, because any water pipe improvement would include digging up the road and replacing the road back to its condition.
Okay. Now, so that being said and those numbers being available,
mm-hmm.
do we want to decide today, or do we want to wait to decide on whether to give Brian an acknowledgement to go ahead with scheduling us for the fall paving the end of September?
Let's wait a week. I'd
wait.
Like to think about it.
Yeah, all right. So Kelly says we should probably wait.
Yeah, then you talk to Chris first, have him sign off on it, and him agreeing with it's a good idea would help.
Yeah, okay.
Listening to the conversation, I think if you're going to go at it that way, then this culvert replacement that I was going to talk about next, that is a change order that is not part of the water project. So that's a $10,000 culvert replacement. Is that going to be the same idea? It's out of the scope of the water project?
And that's where I was going to go. We're going to obviously have to replace culverts because of the installation of the water main. And does one cause the other to become part of the project? And I think you'd have to. If you have to remove a culvert to get the water main in properly, or if in putting the water main in you damage the culvert, then it's all part of, my assumption would be part of the project.
Could you call Rick Skorinka and ask him about it?
I think that's where we would have to go next. Chris also, if he joins at 9:30, might have some insight because he's done these before, these grants. But I think the ultimate word, of course, the final signature would be Rick, because he's the one who signs the checks for reimbursement.
And my other comment would be that at the end of this, toward the end of the project, I think Kelly and Dawson may have a good handle on, Kelly's done $5,000 worth of work that Dawson would have had to have done, and that could be applied toward the culvert since Dawson's going to be doing it. So it may not be the full $10,000.
Right, no, exactly.
The paving would be separate. That wouldn't have anything to do with Dawson's, but the culvert work,
yeah.
I think there should be some credit, if you will, because of the work that Kelly's done on the project's behalf.
Yeah, there will be, but it's still, ultimately, it's still project-related money.
True, but the cash out would be maybe, $7,000 or $8,000 versus $10,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll get some input from Chris. Hopefully he joins at 9:30, and then the ultimate decision will be Rick Skorinka, so we'll get that question out to him as well.
Okay. I don't think Chris would have any... I don't think Rick would have any input as to what we do with our capital reserve money, He'll just say, it's like, just like the legal fees for securing the note, yes, we can do it, but it can't be part of the reimbursable request.
Right.
So we would, you know. Now, there may be enough other water projects to apply toward the 295, but as long as we spend that 1.249, that will get us back the full 295.
Yeah, can you just briefly discuss, you mentioned just prior that the bond banks want to make sure that we spend the full amount of $869,400. How strict is that requirement, and why is there a requirement? If we come up with a significant savings somewhere during the project, why would we not be able to just unspend that amount and not have to pay or pay it off early? You know what I mean?
I think that they're concerned that they're doing us, quote unquote, a favor, being a municipality with this extremely low interest rate. And if we applied for it and we received the money, we better spend it on the water project. He said, if you don't think you're going to spend it, to let him know immediately. They don't want municipalities taking money and then putting it in an interest-bearing account and earning more money than we're paying in interest. That was one of his comments. And it was just that if that's what the voters wanted us to do with the money, and we got the money, that's where we have to spend it.
Right. So, but be aware.
We've already spent over 400,000. We've already spent almost 400,000. So the 388 would be paid off. So that was part of that 869. So when that, he kind of described that procedure. So we're going to get the money, the 869-4, on August 12th. And then on August 13th, we have to pay off Newburyport Savings, which is the bridge loan.
Okay.
Another reason, Jay, which I hadn't thought of before, but Greg was clear about this, that these bonds are, they're tax-free bonds. So since the IRS is involved in the tax-free nature, they are very involved in the bond itself and executing it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. He did bring that up a couple of times. So I can't foresee us not spending the 869. That just would be beyond, you know, unless all of a sudden the project got shut down tomorrow for some reason. That would be the only condition that I think that we wouldn't spend the money that we're getting from the municipal bond bank.
Yeah, but keep in mind that Chris did mention there's a possibility that the Upper Lakeview pressure zone might be either modified or eliminated by some other engineering change, which could save the district a considerable amount of money. That being said, we'd either have to, what Dinah had just mentioned, if we do have to spend the 869-4 or someplace close to that, then we'd have to come up with additional water projects, which we do have alternative additives, and possibly execute those just to spend this money.
The 295 could be spent on the additional projects, but the 869-4 cannot. The 869-4 can only be spent on the Reinhardt tank because that's what it was borrowed for. So if you add the 869-4 and the 295, you know, maybe we don't spend the whole 295, but we certainly will spend the 869-4 on Reinhardt.
Okay, but what the Upper Lakeview was all part of the original contract, right?
Yes. And now I believe that pressure zone, they figure 25,000. So it may not be the 25,000, but his plan with Ian to reroute where that water's coming from on Upper Lakeview is still going to cost something. It may not cost the full 25,000, but it may cost 10. So there'd only be about a saving. There'd be a savings of 15,000. Again, I'm just guessing. We'll still have to spend something, but that wouldn't come out of the 8. See, that's what we have to be careful. That can't come out of the 869-4, but it can come out of the 295. The 295 is not restricted to Reinhardt. It's restricted to water improvements.
Water improvements,
so
right.
So that's why I think we all cringed at the idea of opening up another account to put the grant reimbursement money in to keep it separate from the municipal bond money. But we probably will have to do that.
All right. Okay, I just wanted to, and apologize for not making that meeting. I was sitting in a dentist chair.
Decide. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Jay, that Greg was very clear that he thought that keeping the 869-4 in a very separate account so that if we get audited 5 years from now, there's no question we paid this, 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 and this that all went toward that project. The grant money we can spend anywhere in the district on a water improvement project. It's not limited to Reinhart. So that's why we have to keep those two funds separate.
All right. Good. All right. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yep. And Kelly, what else you got?
Sorry, Kelly.
That's all right. That's okay. I just stuff I want to talk with Chris. You guys can go, and then when he comes on, we can, I can finish up what else I had.
Okay, while you're here and on the discussion of roads, we've had some pretty heavy thunderstorms over the past 2 weeks, and we did get an email from Mark concerning some erosion that occurred by the playground hill on Appenville. And did we print that?
Yeah, it's on this part because this came in after.
Okay.
It's right on the 12th, right?
Yeah, the photos didn't come through, right?
I didn't see. I thought that they were there, but I couldn't view them.
Yeah, I couldn't see any photos.
Yeah, the photos didn't come through.
Yeah, I was able to see them on mine. And I actually been to the site also, even before the email was sent out. Anyhow, the email suggested that 6-inch riprap be put along this roadside to prevent the 3/4 inch from eroding into the catch basin at the bottom of the hill. And I guess the question at the end of the email was, and I'll try to remember what it was.
I can't bring it up because this computer's not.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What do I believe
I think it said whose responsibility is this?
Yes. And so my answer to that would be that the commissioners are responsible for ensuring that we have the best possible employees that we can to manage these type of situations. And I know that Mark had hired Kelly, and I think he made the perfect choice. I know Kelly knows what he's doing, and I'm going to rely on Kelly to either continue with or, I mean, that was a pretty heavy thunderstorm. I don't care what was in place. I mean, there was a lot more erosion than just that one area, and
We're fine, everybody. Sky's not falling. We do have issues on Appenville Way. They've been there. It's not 3/4. It's 1.5-inch gravel. It does not hold up. But I'm doing schedule and planning. I will take care of the issue. I'm not going to do it on a resident's recommendation of when I should go do my work. It will be taken care of in due course. When I'm mobilized and in that area, we will take care of that. But it's not as simple as running out when we get a photo to fix something that's not my priority at the moment. And I hope the commission understands that. It will be taken care of. It will be done right, just like everything else we're doing. The storm drain at the bottom of that was incorrectly installed. There's no way that any can get into the pipe because it's above ground grade. It's not as simple as just... It's not that simple, so I will take care of it in due course, and the roads are in good shape.
Yeah, I just want to point out, as I have before, that Kelly has in his personnel folder more certificates from New Hampshire Tech 2 than probably most DPW foremen or managers or supervisors throughout the state. I'm going to rely on that. I can't even talk up to Kelly.
Hey, Jay, this is Paula. Can I say, I don't understand what this has to do with Kelly's abilities. It says, what are we responsible for? So I don't know why what that has to do with Kelly. And he's asking, is our responsibility to fix the road? And, yeah, I mean, it is, right? And Kelly says he's going to do it. So,
yeah.
Am I missing something? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just a little confused.
No, I think we're giving more time to this than we need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't feel I'm the one who is going to technically solve the problem and decide what size rock to put in there. I think that our responsibility is to leave that up to Kelly.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I understand.
And,
right.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up is because I wanted to talk about I can't talk about it. It was sent to me personally, this email, and
right.
It's a village district issue, and I did not want to reply as an individual representing the board. That's why I shared it with the other two commissioners.
Okay.
But no, thank you very much for your input. Okay.
No, I just was confused what had to do with the other. I understand now. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Kelly, what else you got?
No, fire away.
All right.
Until Chris comes on, I'm all right.
Okay. Paula or Kathy, do you have any questions for Kelly?
Nope. The roads really held up pretty well considering the weather that we had.
And I don't know if anybody...
Did the garage door guys show up yet?
You see it today.
Yep, they're down there now. They are,
okay. All right, good.
They showed up yesterday at 3 o'clock. I had to send them away.
3 o'clock?
Yeah, they didn't realize, so...
Okay.
Well, they're here.
Hey, I'm just going to jump down. While Kelly's here, we're going to jump down and grab what we can that also possibly include him. So we discussed about 6 months ago... we had concerns from one or more local residents about the speed on Idlewise Drive. We had a meeting with the Madison Police Chief, Chief King, and he suggested that we possibly put in a solar-powered speed sign. You know, your speed is, that will flash at anybody coming towards this sign. It was a radar sign. So I followed up a little bit with that last night. And I thought he said that those signs were in the range of a few $100s, which I thought, hey, that's simple money. But I come to find out that minimum cost is somewhere around $1,500. You're probably looking at an average of $2,000 to have one of these installed. My question to the other two commissioners, should I pursue this for a warrant article for the upcoming annual meeting next year?
Would you be looking at one of them or maybe multiples, possibly?
Possibly two, to have them facing in opposite directions to give the speed. And the reason I bring it up as a warrant article is because hopefully we can find a location on Idlewise Drive where no homeowner would be seeing a flashing light outside their house every time a car goes by. But... I do want to leave it to the voters because this also may make Idlewise look a little bit sign-heavy or city-like, if you want to call it that. So that's why I'm bringing it up to the other two commissioners today if we want to push this out as a warrant article for the annual meeting.
Yeah, and they may not be putting on our list as we start to look at those and see where we are with the budget. You know, I think it'd be worthwhile to put – let's make sure we have it on our things to consider list for sure.
Okay.
Donna, a question for Kelly. Kelly was going to look into putting a sign up in lieu because we don't have the speed bumps. I just wondered if you got to that this week.
Yeah, Donna and I have been looking. I can't find anything that words it properly. The only thing I can do is put more speed limit signs. That's all I have access to, unless there's... You know, because of the way our accounts are set up, there's only certain people I buy from.
Why?
I'm just going to go talk to them.
We got someone up
here. Yeah, sorry.
Unless, Dawn, you have better luck.
I'm just going through what you showed me.
Can you remind me what it was going to say again, Kelly?
What were you looking
for? It was just going to be a caution sign. Basically,
like slow down.
Or something more visible than just your ordinary sign that people don't pay attention to. Caution pedestrians, caution people crossing. I don't know, something to that effect.
Yeah, we could probably find a children at play, possibly.
Yeah, we have those, and I think they're just because they're outdated and they're old, they're kind of faded. We can update them. As far as the radar type, I wouldn't recommend that. I think radar signs, people tend to see how much they can beat the radar by. So maybe just the, you know, speed limit sign flashing would be fine, but the radar type, I know especially kids like to try to beat that. But that's up to you guys. We can use some more signs.
Yeah.
But, again, signs are only so good. And it's not
well,
just satellite
drive.
My only
question about the signs is because I just started trying to notice them, and I don't think we have enough speed limit signs. I agree. Somebody
I agree.
Else wrote in about that. So my question is, do we just post some more 30 mile per hour or 25?
It's 20.
Whatever it is, 20. Yeah. Whatever it is, there's one when you first drive into the district. We should buy a bunch more of those and put them up on the roads that have a problem, you know.
I agree. I can do that. That's within my budget to do that. I think I'll there are.
Just make sure. We all seem to not be sure what the speed limit is. I thought it was 25 or 30. But, I mean.
I believe it
just
was
make
longer.
Sure you get the right. Yeah, just make sure you get the right numbers. That's all.
Yeah.
The police believe it's 20.
Look at what it is. There's a sign up right when you come in, and I think there's a sign by Little Loop too on Ada Oyst Drive. But just check those, and then I would you know potentially consider just putting up some more signs. I think I've heard people say they don't know what the speed limit is. Listen to us, and I've looked at them. I don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I've heard the same thing. That you know my neighbor got stopped, and she goes, I never knew what the speed limit was on Ada Oyst Drive.
Right.
So sometimes when you just
put a new sign up, people see it. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a new, brighter sign. I can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I don't need to vote on it.
No, I can buy those.
Yeah, he has it.
Okay.
His budget. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Do we have Chris join yet?
No.
No, Chris? All right.
I
Kelly,
have a question for Kelly, if I could. This is Dinah.
Okay.
The truck loan that won't end. We had a loan for $108,000. The bank wants to know how we're going to spend it. So we sent them the Lee Dodge invoice and the Albany invoice, which only comes up to $91,000. So I believe in the discussion when we got to that number of 108, we included all of the winter outfitting for that truck as well?
Yes.
So could I have maybe a list from Kelly saying, I mean, we're going to need tires changed, we're going to need front and wing plows, and we're going to need a sander, right?
Yep.
The sander's part of the estimate.
Okay.
I think what we said was there's going to be outfitting to be done. We never actually supplied the information what the outfitting was. The estimate, and it is an estimate from Albany Service, isn't a guaranteed number. So I'm expecting that to fluctuate, not by that much. What happened was we had the number, and then I got a better deal on the truck, so it lowered the number, the actual buy number. So I can get a number for what, you know, we got to get the studded tires and the chains. And,
yeah.
It's not going to end up to the $10,000 or whatever it is that I saved on the truck, but I also want to outfit it properly. I'm going to upgrade a few things with Albany Service. Some of the lighting that seems to work better, I'd like to go with that.
I think Kelly, we probably won't have a problem spending the money. They just want to know how it's going to do.
I'll get the winter budget.
Okay,
but I'm just going to take the outfit for winter and then. We're just going to have to say that Albany Service is an estimate.
Yep.
And estimates do increase. You know, that was a year ago, so.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Maybe it's gone up since then, so.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
I don't mean to say we got to spend a lot of money, but I'm sure we'll be able to tie that in. So that would be perfect, Kelly, if you could do that. Thank you very much.
Yep. You can do that.
And don't forget that backup beep. The
backup beep is on there.
Is on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Perfect.
I think we came to the 108 number by looking at the last year's Dodge 5500 and what we spent to get the radio in, to get the sign put on. There's a whole bunch of other costs that went into getting that truck up to par. So
right.
that's where that 108 came from.
Okay. I'm just looking through the agenda to see if there's anything else we can pin on Kelly, for lack of better words. Seeing none, I'm going to move along. So we don't have Chris right now, so I'm going to jump right to Donna, and we're going to have our admin report.
Yep.
You got
No, we got a lot caught up this week. Here's Chris now. Perfect timing.
Do you want to yield 1 minute to Chris?
I will. I'll give Chris his due diligence.
Okay. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good morning. Chris Albert here. Yep. Sorry. Seems like I just walked in our conversation. So.
All right.
Maybe put me where I need to be, or in contact. Or put me out
the lunch. The class.
You got the mic, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, Chris Albert from Jonesa Beach. Good morning. Just wanted to give you a quick project update, just to let everybody know, and I'll send out an official email, but the actual tank erection is now scheduled for next Tuesday. They're going to be mobilizing the crane on Monday and erecting the walls and the ceiling pieces all on Tuesday. So, again, the commission and people are welcome to come up. We're going to try to get people off at a safe distance, of course, and a roped-off location, at least to see the work going on. Everything else is moving forward. I mean, most of all, the 4-inch line is complete. The building slabs and the floor slab for the tank were poured this week. The only thing left that Donaldson has to do is the 6-inch tie-in, and I believe he's tentatively scheduled for next week. I've got to coordinate because that's going to be an outage that needs to go out to everybody for them to tap into the 6-inch line that comes up the hill into the existing tank. So we're going to tee off with two gate valves so we can have one open and closed, and then when the project's done, flip it vice versa. The Bristol stock PRV pit was installed, and they've ordered the other two pits. Still kind of working with Ian on other different configurations over on the Lakeview shore, you know, that area. So that's still up in the air. I did send you, I know it's short notice, but I did send you guys this morning kind of a cost breakdown. I know you have the Bryant paving cost to overlay the roads at $37,000. And then Dawson had sent the pay rec this morning for the two culvert works projects. So what I've done on that project update, I added the $37,240 to the project cost, the $10,990. It actually brought the contract surplus of the bond and the grant for $663. So at this point, we're still not touching the $85,000 of CIP money. I don't have an updated ledge, so there is some more additional. There was, like you said, there was additional ledge to get into the wellhouse and a few of the services they've done. Those are pretty much all complete. So things are moving forward. I think with the DN tank schedule, they're looking to have, you know, they're a few weeks behind just starting, and then the weather kind of put them behind with the rain. So but we're still looking to have the tank work complete probably the third week in August now. And then, again, what we'll do is we'll have the tank complete. We'll get that wet tested, chlorinated, and get that up and running. And then, you know, Dawson will be working on August, September to finish the wellhouse building. So, I mean, I would hope by, I think, you know, we were looking with Kelly, you know, for Bryant paving to come in probably, the, you know, that beginning of September, middle of September to do that paving, if that's what the commission wishes to do. I think it's a good idea. I mean, the money's there. You know, he's got some decent shim, and he gave you guys, the Bryant paving gave the district a great price of the $95 a ton. So again, we would recommend, you know, moving forward on that. But again, that's your money, your, you know, your wishes. And then the two culverts, you know, to get replaced. And Kelly, I'm assuming Kelly's there.
Yep.
Yep. So Kelly, again, I'll be up on Tuesday. So You know, and I talked to Jake, so hopefully on Tuesday, you know, yourself, myself, and Jake can sit and talk and talk about the grading on the roads and getting that component fixed with kind of everybody working together on that aspect. Things are moving forward. I guess at this point, I'll take it for questions from the commissioners and the public.
Hi, Chris. This is Jay. So you just mentioned the crane will be lifting the sections of the tank into place starting next Tuesday, and that folks are invited to come and witness this from a safe distance. Are you talking about the general public, or are you talking about the Board of Commissioners and any?
I'm talking to the commissioners, but again, I we have a fence up there. I was going to try to move the fencing around so they can probably look and see, you know, outside the radius. So, I mean, I guess it's a historic event. So I would say I'd open it to the public and the commissioners. We'll make sure, you know, the parking's not too bad. We'll make sure there's parking, and then, we'll have a section roped off for them to stay, you know, out of the work zone, of course.
Okay. So I'll ask the other two commissioners, Paula and Kathy, do we want to more or less advertise this either on the website or on a bulletin board?
I think so. I think there's enough people that are curious about the project, and they've been listening to it for 2 months at a distance, that it might be nice to make that option available to them.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would be careful. I would just let people know what maybe the best time to come, or, you know, in the morning, anytime during the day,
it's kind of an all-day thing. They pick the wall pieces. One is putting an erector set together.
Okay.
So I don't.
Okay, and then what is the best way to get up there? Would it be to come up Pusis in that entrance, or can they come up by the parking lot? I mean, by the playground.
I would say the playground. I mean, we've tried to keep heavy equipment from coming up through the playground, but I'm sure just residential cars would be fine.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Well, I mean, it's an important project for the district. I think this is to show all the work and, you know, what the effort of the voters has put into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe I would put in a time frame of say 9 to 2 o'clock. So that people won't be there at 6 a.m. when everybody's trying to get staged up there. But say, the public will be invited.
You want to limit people to maybe, you know, being there for 15 minutes to a half an hour. I don't want people hanging out. You know, we want to let people have a rotation so people can come and go.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you open it up from 9 to 2, then people won't all be jamming in at, say, 1 o'clock for some kind of specific event.
Yep.
Okay. We'll advertise it and see what we get.
Yeah.
Correct. And give them a 15 to 20 minute, you know, time limit of, you know, because I think it's once they see it and understand, and, you know, I don't want to back up too many people if they all, you know, come at different times. I don't know the best way to do time slots, right?
Yeah.
Socially distanced.
Like takeout, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't think we get more than a total of a dozen people. I don't think we would get more than that.
I agree. I don't think you're going to have everybody flocking up there. But I think
Now, Chris, you did, this is Kathy. You did mention, and I don't know if you were thinking that day or at the completion of the project, to do a photo op with, you know, all of us together with one of the folks from the state.
Yeah, no, I was thinking after the finish, because I want to have the building frame, the tank done, the site work done, all the construction kind of stuff gone. I was actually on the phone with Rick Skarenka this morning on another project. I didn't get to talk to him and Aaron of whether or not, you know, this is your money. It's a great accomplishment, you know, that we got a $295,000 grant. So I sent that email out to Aaron Holmes, whether or not we can get Senator Chuck Morse, who's the chairman of the commission, and if we could get, you know, I was even thinking of, you know, the Carroll County commissioners, any local Madison selectmen reps type of thing, and as a good kind of a ribbon cutting ceremony. Again, it's a great thing that you know, state resources and grant money have been allocated to Little Edelweiss and Madison. So, it's, you know, the money's being spread around the state, which is great.
Okay. So that would be that – we're looking more at September to do that, August or September.
Yeah. That, and as I talked – most people, are, I guess, from the state perspective, are on vacation the month of August. I know Kelly said he's got time off. So I think it would probably be September. You know, let okay. kind of let the okay. dust settle. You know, with COVID-19, a lot of these state organizations aren't even really meeting. So things might have opened up a little bit more. And I don't know what the senator's schedule is and, you know, whether or not I can reach out to Governor Sununu and get, you know, the governor's office up there. If the governor doesn't show up, I'll probably get, you know, a representative from the governor's office to, you know, okay. you know, write a, you know, a statement.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I think that, you know, opening it up to let the public come in. And again, like you said, they're doing the same thing over and over again during the erection of the wall. So people will come up for 15 or 20 minutes, and then I think they would, you know, not spend the whole day there.
Yeah, and they'll understand at that point, just seeing how it gets put together, what the process mm-hmm. is.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, Chris, I'm just going to dial back to what you sent by email this morning. Your project cost update, and at yep. the very bottom of your spreadsheet, you've got a total contingency right now of $85,663.50.
Yep.
So, if I remember correctly, we had approximately $149,000 in contingency. Did we burn off some of that already, or what does this number represent?
Yeah, that was burned off. I think the 147 got burned off between the Jones and Beach invoices, the archaeological survey, the SW Coal, and then the paving of the culvert. That's about that's almost 50,000 right there. So if you took your 140 minus the what I'm proposing right now is almost 47,000. So you take your 85,000 plus your almost 50,000, that's, you know, 125. And I think the other two numbers of the SW Coal and archaeological were in there. So, yeah, you have to just go back to the previous piece. But I can show you the previous ones that were kind of
yeah.
whittling it down.
Yeah, I think we have that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have all the old sheets. So it's just a matter of, you know, tracking it. That's why I gave you this one, Joel, you know, today's date. So you'll have a kind of a chronological tracking of the project.
Oh, I'm sorry. I see what you're doing. You're already including the overlay paving from Bryant, which we just received mm-hmm. an estimate on, okay,
yeah,
in this number. Okay, I got you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of give you, you know, the two change orders. I guess you could call them those. They're not, you know, Bryant's not a change order, but it's a, you know, project cost. And they
right.
to let you know as of today, and the only thing I don't know as of today, what the actual exact cubic yards of additional ledge, which is somewhere between, you know, 40 to 50 yards of additional ledge that will put the project 100% complete on that.
Okay.
So, again, those are all still livable numbers. And, you know, and then I think the key for the voters at this point with those two numbers is we're not even, not dipping, but we're not even cutting into the 85,000 CIP at this point.
So that leads me to my next question, Chris. Before you signed on, the commissioners were discussing here this morning this $37,240 paving of Bristenstock and Aspen. My question or our question to you is that a project-related cost, and is it eligible for reimbursement, 24%? Well, how does that factor into the cost of this project?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. So we're at $671 for that. You got $388, and then say you've got almost $53,000 times 0.24. Yeah, so you're pretty close to the $295 now. That I would have to run the paving through Rick Sorrenta to see
yeah.
if that's eligible. But my thought was, is, and even the culvert, so I'd have to run that through Rick Skorenka at DEF to see if it would be eligible, because all change orders for eligibility have to be approved by them prior anyway. But I'm thinking, yep, though, from just the overall project of Dawson's DN tank and the JB engineering and all the other engineering costs, when you take those numbers, divide it, multiply it by 0.24%, once you start getting over the 295, you're all done out of that grant anyway.
Right.
So right now I'm at, like, say, 270,000. So you're pretty close to 295 now with just the money we have in hand.
Right.
But it, again, if you want, what I'll do is I need to give Rick Skorinka all of the engineering costs, just so he's got those in his file. Those are, of course, eligible. And then if you want, I'll run the paving and the two culverts to him too, and see if that's eligible. That would definitely put us over. Well, at that point, yes. So if you go project date, that's 1163 times 0.24. Yeah, we're still at 279. So we've still got, because I think when they did is the we did the 295 based on the entire project of the 116.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely run those by Rick Skorinka when we get off the phone.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think, regardless, I think if the commission could move, well, nothing's really, I mean, Kelly, it's not really time sensitive for you, right? If we don't approve this week, can we do it next week or?
No, like I said, it's 6 to 8 weeks out from signing, so it's probably better to put it out the 8 or 10 weeks anyway.
Yeah, no, that's better anyway for us, because, again, I really want to get the lines pressure tested. Not that, you know, the contractor did anything wrong, but we always want to make sure everything passes pressure tests before we pave. Standard practice. Yep.
When you reach out to Rick Skorinka on the project eligibility for the paving and culverts, could you just copy the office on that so we have records?
Yep, always. I always include the office and you and the and I, you know what I would put in the email that, you know, you as the commissioners are looking for the, you know, again, I work through you, you know, for you. So again, this is your request, of course. You know, that the overlay, and most times they will include an overlay
right,
as part of the project cost, and especially where it's a good number. And the big thing, it would kind of fall as an additional cost, because we don't want to put it, I guess to say, we don't want to put it through Dawson's contract, because then there's markup and overhead there. So we want to keep it as a different, there's a different item on the eligibility chart, so we'll try to put it in there. As a reimbursable. And then the culverts too, it's something where, you know, I would explain that we went through, the culverts are in such bad shape, they need to be replaced, and here's the cost for those.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I just ask a question, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Your project total to date cost, now we're not done with the roads. They still got, you know, we're going to help out with that, and we're going to save money on that, but we got to put gravel over all those roads to replace the gravel lost, and then we'll do the grading. Is that still additional cost to be added to that project total to date?
I think that's what we need to talk about next week. Yeah, we need to, that's what I think you and I and Jake need to kind of kick the tire and find out, with your cost of helping and him gravel, how that's going to work. And you know, he's all for having, you know, you help out and whatever. So I think that's something we need to look at, you know, bettering the roads in general besides the paving aspect of it.
We can't foot the bill for the gravel. That's got to come out of this contract. So.
Yeah.
Right. There's going to be a lot of gravel, and I'm expecting Dawson to handle the trucking, because we can't do it without a little truck, so we do have to have that discussion.
Right. Yep. Oh, yeah, no, that was my, you know, let's do that next Tuesday, and then what we can present that next Thursday for the, you know, next week's meeting, and and how that iron, it might be a wash. I don't, you know, again, we'll discuss that.
I'm only thinking that our time should be billable, that we're trying to get that number up to where we need it. We can't just subtract it off. It should be part of the project, right, but where our charge would be. But you're right, we can talk about that. The only other question I had was the culvert replacement estimate. You knocked the money off for us supplying the pipe. I got a semi-drawing of it. It says 42 foot, which we have 40 feet, so I'm guessing the 2 feet is not going to be an issue. But you say a header wall with head walls, but I don't know, are they concrete head walls? Are they
no,
just going to build them? Do you know what they're going to do?
It's on that one detail. Is it a stone and mortar? Where did it go? Hold on, I lost it.
Oh, it's over to the right.
I got kind of, is that over on the right, that drawing? So they're going to build it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually we do the cast at the, like a precast if we're in a normal natural, you know, we're building from start to scratch where you're doing a rehab, it's kind of hard to fit, you know, cast walls in. So it's just as easy in those areas to build. And that was one of the comments that the district and you guys had last week is, you know, what is he building? So I added the riprap apron detail, or at least the length and width and the stone size, and then the stone and mortar head walls to it to at least give direction to Dawson and, you know, to let the commission know what the end product was.
I think it's good. I just, when it comes time, I just want to be part of it just to make sure we don't have a wing banger out there and it's going to work for us. So, it sounds good. Yep. That's all I got.
Okay, Chris, anything else?
No, again, that's all I had. The weeks are flying by, so things are moving forward. I think he's going to start, the carpenters is going to start framing the building the end of next week. Then we're just going to get inside all the nuts and bolts in the building. Still haven't heard from Tom, from EEI on the panel. I know he did keep it as a 3-horsepower pump that I had stacked, and what it meant is he had to have a 5-horsepower panel just from an electrical standpoint. So we're getting what we wanted, so to speak. Now we just got to get Tom to give us the nuts and bolts, Jay, for you and for Larry to review.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom knows the system better than I do. From a what you guys have, so it's really always it's Tom, just give me what you have. I mean, like I said, once he actually gives me that actual submittal, I'll make sure that you two have a chance to review that along with myself.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. All right. Kathy or Paula, do you have anything else for Chris?
Nope, I think we're good.
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Chris. You're good. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Have a good week.
You too.
Stay cool. All right.
You too.
Can I be done too?
Yeah, Kelly, you're all set?
Yeah. I got a doc's appointment, so but I'll talk to you later.
All right. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank
have
you.
Have a good one.
Thank you,
Kelly.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're going to swing back to Donna, who got started with a report.
Holly from the Groundwater Bureau dropped off the bottles for the lead and copper that has to be dropped off at homeowners for them to fill it. She gave me instructions. I need 10 of people to do it. They gave me 16 addresses that they want it drawn from. I don't know who's homeowners that are full time and not, so I do need assistance with that. I have their, you know, the people's names and the addresses, so maybe after the meeting, Jay can tell me who's the homeowners and who's, you know, vacation is, because it has to be done in a certain time period, and for her to pick it up from the office, all 10 of the samples. So, and she would like it done as soon as possible. So that's what I have.
I could begin with that.
Okay. I did get the list of names that you requested for the
letter.
The letter. So those are all set. And then I did spend a lot of time, but I answered a 91A that today that was requested. And then other than that, we're just I think we're in good shape.
So Donna,
any questions?
So did you take those addresses that Jay provided for the water hookups, the water service line replacements, and you got all their names and addresses?
I do have their the names, and I have the addresses off the you know, I can just pull it off the Excel sheet from the property list that we have.
Okay.
I did request yesterday Linda from the town to send an updated one just in case. I know the only reason why is I know one of the properties just switched hands, but I have that information. So
I put them on a spreadsheet yesterday as well to do a mail merge for the letter. The only thing I want to double check, I think number 27 Aspen, I believe he's on a well, so he would not be getting a letter.
Okay.
I think John LeBrock, if you can check our list, I think he's on a well.
All right. Let me just see. I have the well list right here.
Kathy, do you think it would be worthwhile just sending it to him in case he wants to change his water supply to the system? Because,
well,
to be honest,
the letter says that it would, that the property owner should choose to change the hookup from the curb stop valve to the house.
Yep.
If you want to reach out to him separately saying that, I don't know why he didn't hook up to the water system originally. I talked to him 2 years ago, and I know that for whatever reason he chose to go with the well, but I don't remember the reason why.
Yeah, it may have been.
He's already spent money on the well, so I can't imagine he'd want to spend $8,000 to hook up to our water system.
Yeah, it may have been because he's high up on that side hill. It may have been that the district denied him because we would not be able to provide enough pressure.
Right.
He may be one of those denials.
Yeah, it very well could have been. I know he said he felt he got the runaround, but I don't really remember the details of what had happened.
Right, right. And I think that was the reason, is that we could not provide him enough pressure. I'm not sure, but he would probably be a good candidate for that, being so high up on that lot that he's on. But it might just, you know, at least it's an offering
right.
If he does want to change.
Maybe a revised letter to him.
Right, right. Okay.
So I would,
right,
I would definitely, if in case that's number 27, which I think it is.
It is, Kathy. I just checked.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So maybe just send him a revised letter.
Okay, I'll work on the revision and then send that out to the commissioners for their review.
Okay. All right.
Let me just write that down for number 27, Jay.
Yep.
Revised letter. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Moving on, we also have, we've already discussed the ban interest, which is the bank. Bond anticipation note interest for that $388,400, I believe was the amount. Yeah, $384,000. Apparently, according to Greg M., we will be paying $1,628.64 of interest on that borrowing for 3 or 4 months' time. Just want to let the public know that. Okay?
I believe that's through August 13th.
Yep. Okay, because we're going to have that loan paid off by what we get in a larger bond on August the 12th. Okay?
That is correct.
Thank you. We do have, Paula, I'll let you speak to this. We had put an ad on Indeed.com for the part-time administrative position, and we've gotten quite a bit of response. Paul, I'll let you take it from here if you don't mind.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not much to add here in terms of public. We got 13 applications so far. I've reviewed them all and have a recommendation on who we should maybe interview or follow up with. And a lot of them are not qualified or, I wouldn't follow up with. But there are several that I think are worthwhile to pursue. So I think we should do that non-public. Hiring of an employee is, it falls under non-public. I don't want to discuss individual people in a public meeting. So, yeah, I think it was great. They've been coming in since I put it up on Saturday afternoon, I think, or Friday, and they started coming in immediately, and we're still getting one or two a day. So.
No, that was a great idea. That was a great idea, by the way. Thank you. All right. But we also, on that same subject matter, I got an email privately from Mark, and let me just see. Oh, yeah. So Mark wanted to know if we were interested in a proposal for filling that resource or accommodating that resource need here in the office. And so I can't make a decision again as a single commissioner, so I'm bringing it up to the other two, Paula and Kathy. Do we want to reach out to Mark and ask what his proposal would be?
It certainly wouldn't hurt.
I don't understand why he just doesn't tell us what his idea is. Like, why is he asking us if we want his idea? Why doesn't he just kind of? I thought it was a little odd, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he's got
an idea. He can share anything he wants with the board. So any proposals.
Right.
So if he wants to either come to a meeting and talk during public comment, or request an appearance, or send a note to the office with an idea, of course he's
Absolutely.
Welcome to do that. That would be my response. Sure.
Okay.
I mean,
so,
Yeah.
I'll ask if we can go ahead and ask Donna to email Mark in regards to his proposal, so we can get that detail and discuss it hopefully at next week's meeting.
Sure. I mean, I just say,
okay.
Mark, you're welcome. I would just reply and say, you're welcome to make any proposals you would like. I mean, or any share any ideas you have. I mean,
and suggestions. Anything.
I don't think it's like a thing that we formally have to agree on even. I mean, I think Donna can always respond to a note like that and just say, sure.
Yeah, send it in.
You're always
right.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Part of 90.
Sure.
I mean, anybody has ideas, we'll take them. I mean, and that's the whole point of public comment. Yeah. And yeah.
Yep. Okay. Great.
So, yeah.
All right. There was one other email that came through from Isabel, and this is I'm not sure if there are any other people still requesting the waiver of that $50 late fee.
I don't have that.
Oh, you didn't get that?
No.
Oh.
She sent an email maybe 2 days ago, Donna, just to give her a call so she can pay it.
Yeah.
I never got it.
What was our decision on waiving the $50? I'm sorry. I didn't look to see who are the recipients.
I don't think I got it. I would have taken care of that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Maybe you were left off by accident.
I thought at the last meeting or the meeting before we had agreed that I think – we have to look at the minutes, that we were not going to waive it, and that somebody was supposed to get back to her at that point. And I was surprised that nobody gotten back to her yet.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm looking at it right now. She sent it to myself and Jay, plus one other. Hold on.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I had gotten it.
She sent it to the three commissioners, but not to the office. I'll forward it to you right now, Donna.
Okay.
Okay. That's what office. Then.
Yeah, our decision was that we've already waived the late fee for 2 months, and that was the extent of our waiving. We felt that people should have paid in full during that period of time that we were waiving the fee. Anyone who pays after is, I believe it's July 1st, will have an accrual of that fee. And if it gets later than that, then there'll be even later fees.
Normally it's August 1st. When are we going to do? Should we do it September 1st? If they're not paying, they're not paying. But
So the normal schedule according to the ordinance would be August 1st, correct?
That's what's in the computer.
For the second late fee. But since we've extended the first late fee by 2 months, do we want to extend the second late fee by the same amount? I don't know. Now, let me ask the question. How many people are still in arrears on paying the water fee?
We have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 22, 4, 5, 6, like 28 people.
There's 28 people still who have not paid the water fee for this year.
How many of them are multiple years? That's more than
I didn't include those, Kathy. We have four, six. We have 8 people that are, and there's a total, looks like 24, 855.
Is
what's outstanding.
Okay. Yeah, I say we fall back to the schedule of the original ordinance at this point. A lot of people have gotten stimulus checks. They've gotten unemployment. I know it's hard out there for many people, but so that's my feeling.
We haven't heard from most of these people either. I mean, I think if people can't pay their bills, they should contact us and say, I got a problem. I can't pay my bill. But to just not pay your bills, I think you're right. I think we need to go back to the ordinance. And if people then want to make a case for why they can't pay their bill, then we can take it up in each case and say, okay, this makes sense. Let's give them another couple months or whatever. But if, we haven't even heard from these people.
We
don't know why they're not paying. So,
Kathy, what are your feelings?
No, I think that we've made enough accommodations.
Okay. All right.
And
so we'll just
Send them another note that the $50 fee plus what is another $100 fee now after August after August 1st.
Yep.
All right. We'll revert back to the ordinance as it was originally approved. Okay. Great.
Speaking of water fees, I also have the turn off and turn ons, and I don't know how far to go back to charge the people. I have asked in the past, and that needs to be cleared up so that I can at least get the billing out. So I would like assistance on that.
Well, we used to do the turn on and turn off the seasonal ones for free, correct, Jay?
But
it used to be,
but last year when things got in flux, they had made a $50 fee that they were going to charge if they did it on all on the same day. Those were never billed out, and we never billed. I know I've been asking for help on that, but I have everything put aside. So if one of you could, just make sure that
it. Don, I'll come down and help you with that. So we don't have to go back because that policy changed in 2019. So it's not like going back through Ian's bills.
No. I have just Ian's bills from November 1st of 19's bill, but none of that went out, so I don't know if we can collect from 19.
Yeah, we should be able to because we. Yes, yep. I'll sit down. We'll go. I will work with you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and I think, and I was gonna kind of jump in since we're talking about water bills. I did download from the state of New Hampshire the small claims forms that we will fill out individually for the folks that we want to go ahead with and attach liens on the properties. So we can kind of do that at the same time.
Excellent.
Perfect. That was my next question. Okay, thank you. Good, we're done with that.
We can get it to move forward on that.
Okay. Gosh, I just had something on the top of my head. Can't remember. Okay. All right, so we're all cleared on that. So I think we're all done with administrative. Is that
yep.
correct? Okay. I'm going to run down to accounts payable. Okay, we got some big numbers here. The manifest checks.
There's two manifests, one's for the water project and one's for the operating budget.
So I'm going to make a motion, starting with the first, the operating budget, to approve a manifest of $48,792.04. Do I have a second to that motion?
I will second that.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion on this?
Well, let's read them first.
Yeah, we'll read them off.
Wait a minute.
They're blank checks. We're just going to sign them.
All right. Okay, there's the checks for you.
All right.
The first one was to F.W. Webb for $700. And $707.76. The second one was the monthly health trust for $2,237.34. The next one was to North Conway Water Precinct for inventory items that Ian, I guess, needed. Was $738.28.
Can you just read off some of the things that he purchased with them?
The first invoice, I guess they were getting caught up on their records because the invoice date was 3/31/20, which I went back and I made sure it wasn't a duplicate. It was for brass couplings and PVC. I don't know what.
That was a tight tank. This may be the tight tank. This is 2-inch? 2-inch brass, 2-inch PVC? No. That's not the tight tank.
Yeah. Okay. Then, and that's in March, so that was...
Yeah.
The next in was from May 20th, and it was an assortment of...
Yeah, so this is the... curb box. Yeah, this is the tight tank here. So... I believe it is. He doesn't write it down, but I'm looking at the, you say, a 1-inch Copper Corporation, one-inch CTS curb box. This is the new curb box that was put in. Curb rod, yep. I believe this is, and let's confirm with Ian that this is the tight tank because that comes under then a warrant article for accounting.
Oh, okay.
Dave, can I interrupt, please? We've already spent the total value on the tight tank warrant article. I'm pretty sure that's the case. So it would really, if that's the case on the warrant article, that'll just go right to general funds. We'll come out of general funds.
Oh, that's right. We already agreed that this was considered to be like a water main break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. And the last one was for 6/17/20, and
That's pretty much the same thing as if another water installation was being done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder what happened.
Now, that's not anything to do with, like, a water hookup, is it?
It is.
That should be go towards the particular water
hookup. That's what I'm wondering. Those two.
Oh, I'll have to ask Ian.
Yeah, he needs to put down the address that those two bills are associated with so that we can take out of that $8,000 hookup.
Okay. This is from North Conway Precinct, so they're the ones that... So I'll just verify with him and then put it towards the hookups.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
All right. And then the next one was our Primex invoice for the property and liability coverage.
This is the once per year, right?
Yes. This coverage period goes from July 1st of 2020 through June 30th, 2021. And it's for $45,000. $105. And then the next one is for Smithfield Plumbing for $3.66.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor seconded. Do we have any further discussion with regards to those bills or checks?
Nope.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So that was for $48,792.04. The next manifest that we're going to discuss, I'll let Donna catch up here.
Okay, the next one is for the water project account, and there's three checks for $149,501.98. And the first check is to Dawson Excavation for $135,214.53, which we figured out the retainage, and some of the retainage was at 50%, and the other, I mean, at, excuse me, at 10%, and the other portion was for 5%. And the next check is the retainage check, which comes out to $11,344.20. And then the third check is to Jones and Beach for $2,943.25.
So under the $2,943.25 for Jones and Beach, we have a breakdown of that. We have ledge probes, $1,362. And then we have construction management and inspection at $1,581.25. Now, here's my question with regards to these three checks. The one with for Dawson, $135,214.53. We have 45 days in which to pay from his invoice, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask Paul or Kathy and ask Dinah to chime in. Do we want to pay these close to the 45th date?
Well, that's a, I wish we thought of it, but I don't know when the invoices, Chris supplies us the invoices.
Right.
So I don't know when Dawson supplies him the invoice, so that will have to get verified, but
so we could actually sign these checks if we
this agree. One's dated July 10th anyway, so I don't know if that came prior to that, so
yep.
We're on the cusp anyway, so
all right. Dinah, any thoughts on paying towards the end of the terms?
I want to make sure that Chris Albert is going to do one of those reimbursement sheets to the grant for this.
Yes, but that's not until after August 1st because the state is doing the audit for the dispersed.
Yeah.
The DES is doing their audit, so nothing will get dispersed. Was it before August 1st or August 10th?
I think it was August 10th.
I think it was the 10th of August.
What's the total of the project checks?
What's the total? 140?
The total from Dawson?
No, the total of all checks.
Oh, of all the checks?
Yeah, 149,501. 149,501.98.
Yeah.
149,000.
We have 170 in the account.
Okay. So we probably want to then hold this as long as we can. Is that right, Dinah?
I mean, I guess, I don't know what we're going to gain in interest in 1 week.
No, I'm not interested in case something else happens in that 1 week.
What could happen?
Well, that
but this is only for the water project.
Right, right.
Well, that's the 388 bridge loan money.
That's right, yeah. And then that will be paid off on the 12th.
Right? Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
The other thing is that
Go ahead, Dinah. I'm sorry.
I mean, I guess we don't have to pay it now, but one of the things that we discovered on Greg Eames' phone call was that we shouldn't have put the grant money in this project account, the $66,926 that we got from the grant. I put in the project account because it made sense at the time, but now we realize it's not supposed to be in there.
Well, he said it'd be easier if it wasn't in there.
Well, what I'm thinking is we can do account whenever we pay this, we can do the accounting to spend the $66,000 out of the project account and get rid of it. And then the next checks we get from the state, from Rick Skorinka's group, we can put in our operating account and hold that separate in there. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, Dinah, on that $179,000 that you say we have right now, does that include the...
That includes the 66.
It does include the 66? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Huh.
If you want to wait in case something might happen, I mean, I don't think Dawson has any reason to complain.
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and sign the checks, and Dinah or any of the other two commissioners, if you want to be the last person to sign to make the checks move, we can do that up to the 40th day of the 45-day term.
I just have to find out what the date of the invoice is.
Yeah, what the date of the invoices were. Okay. All right, so Donna's going to find out what the actual date of the invoices were so that we know what that time clock is like. And we can do final signatures right at that time. But so we do have a motion on the table to approve this amount. I don't see any discrepancies with the amount. I think we had a second to that, or no second?
No second, yeah.
Okay, so do I have a second to the amount of $149,501.98?
I'll second it.
Paula will
okay.
Second.
All right, and any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and sign, but when we send this, there's no rush, in other words, if we believe we should hold this because of what we've got in our account until we get that full bond.
Yeah. So Dinah, this is Kathy. So maybe what we should do is wait till that August 12th and 13th happens.
Okay.
And maybe before that, we can take $66,000 out of that $170,000, the $66,000 in a separate account, and then wait till we roll this whole thing over into the $869,000, then pay the $139,000 out of that. So we can't take the $66,000 out now. We don't have enough headroom to do that.
Well,
right.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I was thinking is paying the bill with the $66,000, that would be okay. In other words,
yeah.
I don't know how you separate it. I think they want, because if they say, how did you spend the $869 for? Well, the $149 we paid $66, and the balance was paid with the $869. I think maybe if we wait, it's only 2 weeks. Three weeks, and let that whole thing roll over, and then take the $66,000 out and keep it separate, and then pay this $149,000 out of the bond proceeds.
If we can wait till 13.
So you want me to open up another account for the grant money?
Well,
yeah.
We can do one of two things. We can put the grant money into the operating budget, if we choose to do that, or do you still
right.
want to see that grant money separate?
Right. And we could keep it in the operating account separate, sort of like a warrant article is, and as we pay it down, we can take it out.
Yeah, we can create an account proceeds from grant. So it wouldn't necessarily be a separate bank account,
right.
but it would have a separate general chart of account number.
Right. And when we spent it, we would take it out of there, so we would have clear accounting on that.
Yes. And then just And he was very clear about the 869-4 being easily accountable. So we'll put the 869-4 in the account that we currently have, and then that's all that will be in there. We'll pay off the loan, which will only be numbers, only be monies paid from the 869, and the 66 will wait and use that on the next series of checks.
Okay. And we can clear
sense?
I can make a note on that statement for the project account that we did take the money out at this particular time, and that's what they want to know.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I think we're on the same page.
All right. Very good. All right. Moving on to signature items.
Jay?
Yes, Ralph.
I'd like to make a comment on administration.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to make a 91A
request.
Excuse me,
Ralph, just for a second. I'm sorry. Can I just interrupt for a second? I thought public comment was at the end now, Jay. Is that the case?
Yeah, okay. We are only doing public comment at the very end of the meeting, Ralph.
All right.
Is it just as regular public comment, or is it something pertaining to the signatures that we just did?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, so we're going to move on to signature items, and one of the ones that we got, which we discussed a couple of meetings ago, is this neighborhood energy, a new lower rate with the anticipation that the rates are going to go up. And so we have the agreement here in front of me. It's requiring one signature, and I'm just trying to ascertain what that rate will be. Okay, this is all contract. Boilerplate. Okay, here we go. Yeah, okay. All right, there's an awful lot of numbers here with regards to the fluctuating rates. Okay, here we go. Council is not the cause on due diligence. Okay, but rather due diligence on your behalf because of the great sub 0.075 electric rate, so we're paying 7.5 cents. I believe that would be per kilowatt hour. Yeah. So I think we made a motion a couple of weeks ago to go ahead with this agreement.
Last week.
So is it okay if I sign as the representative for the board?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll make a motion that we sign the contract with Neighborhood Energy for the new rate, the term will be starting on January 1st, 2021, and the end date is November 2021. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, January 1st, 2021 to November 2021.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any discussion? Anybody have any questions, Kathy or Donna? Kathy or Paula?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll go ahead and sign.
I vote yes.
Okay. Yes. I vote yes.
Yes.
All right. Today is the 23rd, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, there you go with that. All right, we also have a letter that was drafted for Terry Kancelarik in regards to some unruly neighbors that she had renting a house across the street from her. And did everybody get a chance to see that letter?
Yep, I think we've all signed it.
Donna's saying, no, we haven't. She has it right here in front of me on letterhead, I think is what Donna printed up. So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign the letter and send it to Terry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Okay. If you guys can, in your spare time, come down and sign the letter. Donna can get that out to Terry. And Okay, we'll move on to the next section real quick. Committee reports, I know of none. Does anybody have anything from the committees? Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to ask if Paula would be interested in taking over the communications committee again. I'll still remain a member.
Right. I don't think we need a communications committee, to tell you the truth, because I think that you were probably doing the load of the work anyway. And when I was on it, I was writing all the newsletters. I was actually doing all the writing. So I'm not sure the purpose of a community. I don't know if we need a communications committee. I'd rather just disband it. I'll be happy to take on the newsletters or the other stuff that you want me to do as a commissioner. But I don't know if there's a lot of value to having a committee at this point.
What are your thoughts, Jay?
I think that we've been communicating okay. I know there's been a lot of 91A requests, which is part of communications, and then getting those out in a timely fashion. And I know Donna's been swamped with that, but doing the best that she can.
That's not part of the communication.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, you know, the impression is the office giving me the information I'm looking for, things like that.
That's not really what the communications committee was doing, though, Jay. That's completely separate.
Oh, I know. It was trying to find a mechanism a way for the Board of Commissioners to better communicate with the public.
Correct.
And I think we're doing an okay job with that.
Okay.
You know, we're limited, obviously, by having public sessions to be able to decide what we tell the public. This meeting up at the tank site on Tuesday will be a good outreach for people that are interested in what's going on up there and getting that posted.
Do you think we need a committee? Or do you think that the discussions we have, because our meetings are now 2 hours and not 45 minutes, that there's enough information brought to the surface and we're deciding what we should put in the newsletters and send out to the public?
Yeah, I don't think there's a need right now. So, but again, So I agree that Paula, ourselves, the three commissioners, can communicate hopefully effectively. I hope this letter to Terry communicates effectively what she's looking for answers to. And, all right. No, I agree.
All right, so on that same note, as of this 5 minutes, still a communications committee, what I'm jotting down is some things to put into a newsletter for July, which will be the erection of the tank. Now, he said Tuesday, like this coming Tuesday is when that's going to happen?
Yep.
Okay. So he's looking at the 28th of this month. All right. So I'll put that in there. They've officially adopted the $5 per bag of household trash at the transfer station. Last weekend, the people that were working there said that they were not collecting the $5, but as of now, they are.
Yeah.
So I'll put that in there. The audit's now on the website, so that if anybody's interested, it's now available on the website. I'll put in there that water bills, still outstanding, the $100 late fee will go into effect on August 1st. I'm not sure how many phone calls Donna's gotten. I witnessed one of them. Not sure if she's getting calls about the reassessment of the property.
I knew what you were going to say. Yes, she is. And Kathy, yesterday alone, I received 10 calls from my personal phone about this assessment. And I am going to, if you don't mind, for the newsletter, I will try to put a very simple and short spin on this so that people will know how to get the information that they're seeking as opposed to the misconceptions that many people have about their new assessment.
Well, like I said, all we have to do is paraphrase what was in the letter we sent to us. They can log on to Avatar. They can look at their property assessment potential as opposed to their neighbors. And there's a phone number for them to contact. So it's really not an Edelweiss issue. And hopefully that will deflect some of the calls coming into the district.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Unfortunately, I have some legacy, some baggage in this and that. Many years ago, probably two decades ago, I was involved in having the town forced by the courts to do a total reassessment because Idlewise was at the time was determined to be unfairly assessed, paying a significant amount more taxes than they should have been. And a lot of people still feel that this is the same thing happening all over again. It is not. But you're right. We should probably just should paraphrase from that letter that people should be contacting the town of Madison and not Donna and not me and not any of the other commissioners.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, Jay. Okay. So on the assessment, because I've had residents around me come to me with the same thing, you know, with this scowl on their face, waving that piece of paper in their hand. So each of the properties in Idlewise gets assessed on their land value. Is it $19,500 or $800? I'm not sure. Just under $20,000 per property for being in Idlewise.
For what? Beach access.
Okay, exactly. So that's for the fact that we have, I don't know if it's a deeded right or we have access to the beaches. But guess what? The whole town of Madison has access to the beach.
Yes, as a matter of fact, why are we being assessed? Yeah, the whole world has access to the Idlewise beaches. It's not just Madison. Anybody from Pakistan or China can come here and walk right onto our beach. You cannot stop them.
Okay.
It's a public beach, like a public road. So we have what is called a new assessment line item on our tax cards under the land tab called pea porridge access. Now, going back and looking at real estate listings for example, homes like mine, which was just listed not too long ago, most of those listings will say access to 5 sandy beaches. No matter where you are in Idlewise, right? So the assessing company, Avatar, is using that information to add a value, a separate value, not adding, but separating a value of the total cost of your land, total value of your land, to something attributable to the fact that we are a water community here in Idlewise. We love our ponds, right? And that's how we sell our properties. By declaring that we have 3 beautiful ponds with 5 sandy beaches. Now, if you look at the Madison side of town, I looked at some communities like Allegro Pines. So they are a community, they have 1 public association beach in Allegro Pines, and homes that are away from the water have an assessment of $110,000 for what is called Silver Lake access. So we're not the only ones.
I looked on East Shore Drive, and friends of mine live on the water side of Silver Lake, and they have an aspen. They're on the water, so it's a $400,000 assessment for that. But the lot across the street has nothing, even though they have access to the Silver Lake beaches.
Yeah, and I looked at one on East Shore Drive as well that did have that Silver Lake access. And it all depends, and I don't know what the determination is, but it all depends on how far away from the water you actually are. Not on foot, but you know what I mean, how far away you are. And that determines the value of that access. So I went as far away to Four Claws, properties over on Four Claws, and I believe that established properties which already have a home also are getting assessed the access fee to Pea Porridge Pond. So I don't know what that distance is. I did inquire yesterday with Town Hall to see if I could get a spreadsheet form of their data. I just want the raw data. I can play with it myself, and I was told that that's not available. So without that, it's hard. I can take a PDF and I can convert it to a spreadsheet, but there's some missing information in that PDF, such as the house numbers. We have lot map number, but we don't have the actual house number, so that makes it a little more difficult. And the full name of the street is sometimes not always visible.
Okay. So is this assessment new for this go around, and it was not there previously?
Correct.
So in addition to the $100,000 view tax that we're getting, there's a $20,000 beach tax.
Yes. So they're better defining. Yeah, they're better defining your property.
Okay, but now they're saying that it's supposed to be market value.
Right.
It's no secret what people's properties assessed at, but my property, in this two small lots, so I've got 0.8 acres, the property alone is $160,000+. Has there ever been a piece of property not on the beach that sold for $160,000, a piece of property?
Well, you can't just say it's a vacant piece of property versus an already improved piece of property. That's the difference.
But they assess the building separate from the land. So
right.
if my house burnt down, my property would still be valued at $160,000.
Yes.
And they're saying that's fair market value. That seems a little skewed.
No, you're right. If your house burnt down, you may very well be able to sell your property, what's left of it, the foundation and septic system and landscaping, for $160,000 or whatever it is.
But they're saying that's fair market value. Are they using a comp for that? Is there other properties in this district that sold for that kind of money?
Yeah. So take, for example, that fire on Hotwell that happened this winter. So the foundation is still there. The yard is still there. I'm sure that the value of that property is far more than $14,000, which is the general base rate for a vacant lot in Idlewise. Because you've already got establishment. You have a water line in the ground, you have a septic system, you have a foundation. These are the type of details I want to get answers to.
I don't want to waste any more of our commissioners' meetings on this. It's not a district issue.
Right. I don't think we should be discussing this. I don't think it's a good use of
Okay. I was just asking Jay, only because Jay knows the answer.
No, I know.
Outside of the public meeting.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can have a discussion about that with him because it has nothing to do with Italy's business. Remember that.
Right.
You're not violating, and you're not making any decisions or having any discussion about what's going on in Italy. So you actually could talk to him about that. But anyway, okay. Let's keep going.
All right. So I guess back to what we were discussing, which was communication.
Okay, so the newsletter.
In the newsletter. So is there anything else that you think should be included, since I'll probably do that in the next couple of days? Is there anything you can think of that would be worth? Now, Paula, do you have any questions?
Kathy, what was that?
No, we just have to call in so we don't lose the call, that's all.
Okay. No, there's no news. I mean, the loons are doing well from what I've seen. We have two chicks in there, but if you want to put something in, but everything seems, fine.
Okay.
I would keep the newsletter short and sweet in terms of just new things. And do you want to repeat the fireworks ban? And I would get it out though, because this thing on Tuesday, today's Thursday. You really got to get it out by the weekend if you can. I think that's the big thing.
Okay.
I think it was Tuesday that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll work on that today and tomorrow.
It's funny because as I say that, the loons are going by and I only see one of the chicks. Where's the other one? That's the problem. There's only one chick with the adult. That's not good. Anyway, let's keep going.
Okay, so if you think of anything in the next day or two, please send it into the office and Don can forward it to me.
Okay. So, Kathy, you had already talked about the liens for the outstanding water fee users. Ian still owes us some information, and Donna has also gotten him information regarding new water hookups this year. So now I'll go right down to committee reports, commissioner's reports. I had already talked about the security cameras that we were going to get, and I was just going to ask if I could use the district's credit card, and I guess that's okay. I didn't know what the limit was. That's why I didn't get it.
Yeah, right. Dinah? Do you know what the limit is for the credit card to use, yep. like a one-time purchase?
I think it's at least $1,000.
Okay.
Okay, so I can go ahead and purchase. All right. Now, I want to jump right into the camper at Hotwell.
Okay.
So
don't jump into it.
Yeah. So we have the signage that Kathy put up, and that gives that camper till the 26th, is it?
23rd today.
23rd, I'm sorry. Oh, the 23rd.
Yep.
Okay, now, what do we want to do?
Tow it.
Okay, so if we tow it, the district will be paying for that.
That was Donna saying that.
Yeah. No. Can you report it stolen?
I said it, too.
Okay.
So, won't the police take it?
Yeah.
No.
They have a towing company take it. Doesn't cost us anything, and I assume that if the owner wants to retrieve it, they have to pay the towing bill.
No, I think we get charged. It's on our private property. Okay? So if it was put on my lot, and I had no idea whose it was, and it just showed up there overnight, I'd have to pay to get rid of it.
If we pay for it and then the person shows up and wants it and they have to get it out of wherever, do we get the money reimbursed that we paid?
Yeah, I don't think anybody would want to buy that back. The towing alone, I'm assuming, is going to be close to $1,000. Yeah. It's not a car. And it's storage. So
we don't have any other option, guys, unless you want to just leave it there for forever. I mean, I don't think we have any other choice.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can declare that, like, from a zoning perspective, as public property in the future with the zoning board so that, you know, because what's the point of having these ordinances and spending money on this? Like, I'm sort of surprised.
It's public property, but it's Edelweiss's public property, not Madison's.
Right. We're part of Madison.
If this was left in Madison, then they would be paying the bill to have it towed.
The town would.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Which
would
happen to them as well.
Right, okay.
This is a very large item, I'm only thinking, I know that some of our own vehicles that have been towed, like the big dump truck, that's an $800 charge.
Where does it get towed?
Where do you get it towed to?
They have yards, automobile storage or salvage yards, they call them.
Mm-hmm. I think we should get a price.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, and I have reached out to get that price from the PD,
okay.
Madison Police.
Okay.
So, let's just hold off and then find out. Yeah.
Jay, you had suggested or brought up 2 weeks ago of putting a picture of it in the newsletter, and if anyone knows who owns this, please contact the office, or do you think that's not worthwhile?
Yeah, I guess we can do that. It might cause more controversy or more phone calls.
I would definitely do it and say we're in the process of pursuing a tow for this. If anyone knows who this belongs to, it's going to cost the district money to tow. Let's let people know that this is going to cost them money to get this thing towed.
Right.
If somebody knows who it belongs to.
About it. Right. Because I guess the people that are complaining about it, they'll know that we're not ignoring it, but that it's going to cost $1,000 to tow it. And is it really that bad of an eyesore to spend that kind of money?
Well, otherwise it's going to sit there forever. I mean, because obviously, if somebody's just trying to get rid of it, and if they dumped it there, we're going to have to tow it at some point because you're going to want to get. You don't want the thing sitting there forever in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And then the second option is if they just really left it there and thought they could leave it there all summer, then it's just we got to find out who belongs to get it out of there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Either way, we're at least notifying. Just say it's going to cost quite a bit of money. We're investigating the cost and our options, but it's going to be towed soon.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All All right, so let's put it in a newsletter. Good.
So, all right. So, Jay, so they can't trace the last time it was registered via the VIN number? Jay?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm losing you. Jay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, so
I can't hear Jay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're very distant.
Oh, wow. Because of this age, there could be what is called a lack of title, so that when it gets sold from one person to another, there's no transfer of title, is what was explained to me by the PD. So we may have that problem.
But how about registration?
Yeah, like obviously. Yeah, there's no plates on it. There is a VIN number on the frame, and they've already tried to look that up, and they have no feedback on that. So what they're going to try to do is take that VIN number and see if they can go all the way back to the original purchaser, whenever that was built, probably 20 years ago, and then see how many hands it's changed, or how many hands or times it's changed hands, I should say.
I should know if they get a VIN number on the frame, though. I don't know if that would be the VIN number of the vehicle.
Well, no, it would be. Supposedly, in those type of campers or any camper, there's VIN numbers on several locations within the vehicle.
But don't go in there.
Yeah. So I'll check with PD, and I'll get a cost, and I get all the information as much as we can.
Okay.
All right.
And the last thing communication stuff. I still need, if you could get me a login credentials for the website and for MailChimp, then I can go in and make sure I remember, you know, see what I remember, and then maybe you and I can do I don't know how we'll do it, what to do at the meeting, I don't know. But I can try and train myself on how to do that so that I can take some of that over from you.
Okay, all right. You know what we could do, Paula, too, is maybe some rainy afternoon, is you and I will post a meeting ahead of time, and if anybody wants to listen in,
yep,
you and I can sit in the office and go over it.
Yep, that would be great.
Okay, that way it's still a public meeting, and anybody that wants to dial in can dial in.
Yep, okay.
Okay, all right.
All right, moving on. Kathy or Paula, do you have anything under commissioner's reports that you haven't already talked about?
No.
No, I think I'm good.
All right. I'm going to jump right down to correspondence, and then we'll get to public comment. Under correspondence, we've already talked to Mark and the administration resource proposal, so we're going to reach out to him by email. Mark also sent in that email and pictures to myself. I shared with the others the drainage issue up on Appenville by the playground. Noreen Downs from Madison TV is telling us that we could use town hall or meeting room, which they will videotape for our meetings. But then it would take Donna out of the office here where all of her information is at her fingertips. And so my question is to Donna, how would you feel about that?
The only thing is people, it'll be limited to a size.
Right.
If the size is bigger, if people show up, the meeting has to be canceled.
Right.
And there wouldn't be unless you can call in through your cell phone. I don't know how, what the regulations are for that, but... my only thing is if too many people show up, that they would cancel
right.
for size-wise.
And their capacity right now is 10. No, wait a minute. That was the... I think 10 is what they are giving at 6-foot social distancing in that room.
Yeah.
So we would have 5 with the camera operator, the 4 of us. Six. Dinah,
right.
4, the camera operator, and Donna. So we're already 6, so we could allow 4 people to attend.
Right.
Does that sound right?
I can check with the town, but, if they know any, but I'm just concerned with the size, and if, you know, we were through the middle of a meeting and then another person shows up, the meeting automatically has to get canceled, to my understanding.
Right. You cannot, if you cannot accommodate.
Why don't we call and confirm the attendance number?
With social distancing.
Yes.
So that's what they call it. But yeah, Linda had stated that, when it was 10 and they had an 11th person walk in, the meeting was adjourned and everyone went home.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a safe thing, or someone could actually volunteer to walk out and have someone else take that seat.
Yeah.
We also have correspondence from Robert Corazzini, and who was also asking about, does only Idlewise residents have access to Idlewise beaches, I think was his question. Have you responded to that?
No, I didn't know.
So the access is to anybody in the public, from anywhere in the world.
Can you just explain again why that's true? Why versus, say, the one the guy mentioned, like the ones in Eaton where you...
Allegro Pond.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the beach in Eaton is, I believe you can park on Route 153 and walk across the beach into the water. The state bodies of water are owned by the state, not the town that they reside in. And there's a particular RSA, I'm not sure which or what it is off the top of my head, but that your bodies of water that are controlled by the state are within a particular boundary of a town or two towns, that those towns or communities must give public access to those public bodies of water. So you can't restrict the public from accessing the water.
But the only, which the water means all the sandy beach area. We can't restrict anybody from that. But what towns and municipalities can do is restrict parking lots. The parking lots, and that's what Silver Lake is doing. And they're even beefing up their transient parking on Silver Lake, saying that if you don't have a Madison sticker, resident sticker, you will not be able to park, even going forward after COVID, on Silver Lake beaches. If you own a second home there and you or a renter, I guess a second homeowner, if you're a property owner, you can get the sticker. But if you rent for the summer, you can get a sticker for $100 to give you access to the beach parking lots.
Right,
okay,
and I still don't understand. I don't think we should do it this year. It's too late, but I think we should restrict our parking. And I think we should, and if we have a restricted parking thing, we can use the Madison Police, right?
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, so and periodically the Madison Police should check the parking lot, and if people want to report people there, they can. I mean, we can do that. I don't know why we don't do that. It won't be enforced every day, all day, but I think it would self-enforce at a certain point.
Well, you know what happens?
At Silver Lake, there are five beaches. The only beach that they require to have the parking sticker is what is called the foot of the lake beach, which is at the very south end of the beach, south end of the pond or lake. That's the only beach that requires a sticker. All the other four beaches at Silver Lake, you can park without a sticker at all and access the beach, even if you're from other country. So there's no restrictions to those four beaches.
Hi,
and the other problem.
This has been discussed a lot in the past history, and it's always been the enforcement part of it that has not made it go through. But Paula, I agree. I think you could do that, and we could even almost use the Madison sticker thing. You know, the dump sticker like Madison does. I mean, I don't. I'm from Madison, but so I think it should be discussed at another time, and it's definitely something we could do. People are parking all over the roads now. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we should talk about it off season.
Paula, I think before you became a member during the beginning of the COVID issue, when we were talking about closing the beaches
I remember,
the parking,
yeah.
The problem is, right now, okay, you can't park on the beach, especially Boulder Beach, because it's so tight in there. You park on the road. So we would have to
we could park, no parking on the road there. I mean, we can do whatever we feel we need to do and what we think the public will want. I mean, I think we just have to, everyone, this idea of enforcement, nobody enforces the fireworks, but we still have a law.
Exactly.
You know, you still have laws. They're not always going to be enforced, but if we have a law, if we have a rule, the Madison police is obligated to enforce it when they can. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
To me, that I've never understood that issue. I mean,
somebody with a rental property, even if you had your family come up for a weekend, because you were away, they couldn't park their cars at the beaches.
I know.
And
this is what every other town does, guys. I mean, it's just like, you know, and we got to, if that's the people here who live here are okay with this, that's up to them. I mean, I would open it up to public, it would change the thing, you know,
yeah,
a public hearing
public
on
hearing.
It and let people show up and decide what they want to do. But that's, I mean, I would let them do a public hearing on it and let's hear from people.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we're changing the ordinance, we'd have to do a public hearing. And I absolutely agree. That
yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, Donna
just signed in to the public hearing list. Okay.
Yeah.
Just moving on, we got John Rochard. He's the president of the EPOA. And John sent in some information about a residential trash pickup company. I don't want to say who they are because there would be advertising for them. That's, I guess, a concern with renters or guests. Also, we got some feedback from Granite State Labs. Both our bacteria and pH test results for our drinking water have passed. We also got a correspondence from the New Hampshire DES on the Drinking Water Grant Trust Fund. There's a webinar on July the 28th that any one of us can attend if we so desire. Is anybody planning on attending that? We might.
No.
Okay.
I didn't really look at it, but I will.
Okay. And I want to, before I lose anything else, because I forgot to put it in here, is the letter that we have drafted to send to Adam for reimbursement.
But that's non-public. That's non-public, Jay.
Okay. Why would that be non-public, though, since we're going to create an invoice? How can an invoice be non-public?
Well, there was correspondence from Chris Bolt, so do we need to discuss that in non-public?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do that and then come out of non-public.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I got that, and let me see what else sort of notes I have here. I think that completes everything. Now, under public comment, I will reach out to anybody left on the phone call. Does anybody have any public comment? Ralph, you still there?
Yes, I do. This is Ralph.
Okay.
In line with your communication to Adam, we should look into how much legal expenses were incurred in connection with the requirement for a settlement amount. I am going to make a 91A request concerning that dollar amount. This will represent a loss to the village in terms of a modest or incidental settlement represents a cost to the village. And the legal expenses should be included in the cost of the settlement, if there is one. The other matter is there has been no discussion, at least that I can recall, of budget versus actual. And notably, there has been no real recognition of that. So I think it's important that the commissioners get to fundamentals such as budget versus actual is, I think, a very critical issue in terms of where we are and informing people with respect to expectations for expenses and where we are in the budget, whether we're going to experience potential overruns or whatever, and where are the significant variances?
Okay, so if I have any comments on that second piece, we have done, or Kathy has provided a budget versus actual drawdown about 3 weeks ago, Kathy?
I believe that's true. I think we're doing it at the end of each month.
Yeah.
So we did do one at the end of June, and we did comment on it at our public meeting.
Yeah, so I also shared that information with Kelly, who obviously has the largest piece of that budget. So he feels himself, and I've actually looked at the numbers myself, we're in pretty good shape. The only one that sticks out, and I mentioned this 3 weeks ago, was, of course, legal. And there's many reasons for that that go way back to the very beginning of the year. That is the only line item that is in excess. There may be some others that are in excess of a few dollars, but those are those one-time payments, such as the one we just did today for Primex. You know, the estimate may have been for $45,093, and it came in at $45,095. But that's a one-time deal. But no, we do have the information, Ralph. We have looked at it, and I've looked at it. We did have a very brief discussion about it, because all of it was very helpful. I'm sorry, Dinah, is that you?
I said it was very brief.
Yeah.
In the past, the commissioners had had a special meeting of the month to do the budget, and it's usually like 2 or 3 weeks after the end of the month, so you have the figures. And they actually would go over everything, which I think is an important piece to our communications.
Okay. We can add that once we get the next rollout of the actual versus budget, we can take that up in greater detail during the regular meeting. We'll set some time aside for that.
Have it as an agenda item for the second Thursday of the month, something like that.
Yeah. Second Thursday of the month. Is that doable, Kathy, for you?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure we have all the...
you're referring to me, but all I'm doing is taking the spreadsheet that Nancy used to take the QuickBooks report and drill it down into a one-page report that's easier for us to review. And Donna and I sat down a couple weeks ago, and I showed her how that all works. So going forward, it's just a matter of taking maybe 45 minutes and taking the QuickBooks report numbers and putting them on that spreadsheet.
Okay.
And we actually put budget numbers in QuickBooks so that hopefully at some point we can just say run the P&L through June 30th or July 31st and it will print. Right now, we just tried it the other day, but it prints all the accounts and all the zeros. So you end up with like a 9-page report. So we're trying to get it to the point where at any moment we can just ask the QuickBooks report to print and it would be there without us having to transfer the numbers from one document to another document.
Okay.
That makes sense?
And I'm just putting in my notes. It's going to be the second Thursday of each month that we'll have that on the agenda.
Okay.
And it should be on the website, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ralph and Dinah. Anybody else for public comment?
By the way, Kathy, this is Dinah again. On the bonds part of this, you're still including the Jungfrau Main bond for $8,000, and that was paid off a year ago.
Okay. Well, all I put in was the budget line item. I think we made the first payment. The last payment was in 2020, though, wasn't it?
No. It was last year.
Okay. I'll look at that. All right. Thank you.
That's why it's good to discuss things.
Yeah, okay. But we don't show any payment there, though, do we?
I'll look at it. $7,892.
I'll look at it. Okay, thank you.
And
okay, we all set? Jay, still there?
But I have a question. Why was something put in the budget if it wasn't needed this year? Like, was that pointed out by Dinah? Did you point that out with the budget together?
The first time I've seen the budget.
You didn't see the budget at the annual meeting?
I'll look at it. But thank you, Paula, for bringing that up. That's a good point.
No, I just don't understand. Like, there was a lot of questions about the budget at all of the it's a budget hearing and at the annual meeting. So wouldn't that have been in there, and shouldn't that have been taken out of the time?
It could have gotten picked up
okay.
at that point. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I can't hear you.
I can't hear that either.
There's some sort of static on the line.
Ah, that's better. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, okay, good. So we have, in fact, the bond right here in front of me for $734,600. And we have a lot of signatures that are required by all three commissioners, as well as the, I believe, the clerk and the treasurer. So I'm going to make a motion to go ahead and sign this bond. Of course, it will be out of session because of the COVID experience that we're going through. Do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion on this one? Quite a bit of paperwork here.
It's all color coded, though, also. So each one of these has been assigned a color.
Yeah.
And it's all tabbed.
I think so that's supposed to be signed by the 28th. So there is a deadline on that.
Okay.
Well, 28th of July. Well, Okay. Yeah. Okay. So any further discussion?
No.
So all in favor of signing the bond for $734,600, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And which one is this?
This is just for the bond bank.
Wait, this one? Signature.
It looks like it's just one for the. I don't know if it's the treasurer or you, or one of the board of commissioners.
Let's see. Let's see. Who is this really to be signed by? The bar, revoked by the borrower. Authorization shall remain in effect until a new form is filled with the NHMBB or until it is revoked by a borrower in writing.
Okay, this would be a commission.
Because it's addressed to Adam Leiser. He was the commissioner at the time when we were applied for this. So I guess I'll make a motion to go ahead and sign this document. It's a customer wiring information, the NHMBB, New Hampshire Municipal Bond Bank. And this is the agreement with that bond bank to go ahead and secure this loan for the true interest cost, the TIC, of $734,600 for a 15-year loan at approximately 1.35%. So I'll make that motion to go ahead and sign as the chair. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Well, you're breaking up pretty bad, Jay. I don't know if it's me or you.
No, I hear some static on the phone. I'm not sure where it's coming from, though.
Let me mute
you. How's that? Nope, still have static.
Okay, so that wasn't me.
That's better.
Okay.
That's better, Jay, yep.
All right. So is it okay if I go ahead and have the motion has been seconded? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. That's that one. And
just the envelope we returned in?
Yeah, that's the envelope we returned in.
So I think
Donna, can I ask you a quick question?
You could ask me anything.
Okay. I just looked at the budgets that we did, and they all balanced to the profit and loss. And it does show we made a payment, a $3,900 payment on Jungfrau loan in 2020. Can you just double-check that?
Yeah.
The Jungfrau principal account. I just want to make sure I didn't miss something or that it shouldn't be there.
Was it $3,900?
I'll tell you in 1 second. Budget. So it looks like what I have, that we made, actually that was half, because half of it goes to operating and half of it goes to the water budget. Right, so Jungfrau, it looked like we paid, $3,900, we paid $7,892 this year in principal and $68 in interest. But I have that for this year, 2020.
I guess you don't have a date on that.
I don't know.
January 22nd, 2020.
Okay, we did pay that in January.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
Thank you. Always question. It's always good.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul has a request to go to non-public session, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, there's two issues we want to talk about. One is hiring of non-elected officials, and then the other is some legal advice that we received from counsel. So those two RSAs that would be going under non-public session are RSA 91A:3(2), as well as RSA 91A:3. Why are these both the same? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's the G
and the other one was B. B and G.
I think
G.
You have to go into non-public for each one separately. So you come in, you go out. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So we'll do whichever one you want first, Jay.
All right, we'll do the legal advice first. That'd be 91A:3G, legal advice, legal counsel.
Okay.
So
and just before we get off the phone with everyone, Dinah, I want to let you know, I got a call from the bank yesterday after I was there, so I got to call that woman back today. She wanted more information from me. So I don't know if you've been, when you're planning to go, but I'll call her as soon as I get off the phone.
Yeah, Dinah already left.
Oh, all right. That's all right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So, I think if everybody, if Paula and Kathy, if you could call back.
So who made the motion?
I made the motion.
To enter non-public?
Yep.
I'll second it and vote yes.
Okay.
We'll call yes.
I vote yes.
Okay.
Do you guys want to hang up and call back into the 9022?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
All right.